Thank you for joining us for another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in your everyday life. We are going to continue in this, I guess, umbrella, under this umbrella that I'm calling faith that draws and drives, right? Faith that draws and drives. And if you haven't listened to these recordings, I always encourage that you go back and be able to listen, because these are building upon each other. So when we're looking at this, okay, I want to make sure that I'm continuing to put weight on and emphasis and encouragement for you to be able to see through the lenses of Jesus Christ, right? Not just faith, right? So when we're looking at this, then we should be seeking to do that with everything, right? Not just concerning things of the Bible. I want to be able to see life, right? See life circumstances, see relationships, see everything through the lenses of Jesus Christ. And that's what the kingdom of God is ultimately about, right? And there's a scripture just coming to my mind. I think it's in Isaiah 55, and it talks about God's ways being higher than our ways, and God's ways, his ideas and his ways being higher than ours, right? And the reality is that God sent Jesus Christ in his kingdom so that he can bring us up, right? He doesn't want us to stay low, right? He wants to bring us up, again, not in pride, but just helping us to be able to think like him, see like him. So he wants us to see through the lenses of Jesus Christ, right? He wants us to share the perspective of Jesus Christ. So with that being said, then we're just going to continue where we left off. And what I encourage that we do or did was to look at Mark chapter 11, verses 20-25. And what I suggested is that there were at least 10 principles that Jesus Christ established here, okay, on his lesson teaching about faith in response to the question the disciples asked about how, right, he spoke to this fig tree and it withered from the root and dried up. So Jesus Christ opens this class, okay, and he begins to teach his disciples. And the first principle that I saw there in verse number 22 was have faith in God, right? So that's the most primary one of all. It must start with us making a decision to have faith in God. The reality is we have faith in many things, right? And we're trained based on our habits and experience to have faith in all types of things, right? We have faith in our jobs. We have faith in the government. We have faith in medicine. We have faith in paychecks, right? We have faith in retirement plans. We have faith in all types of things. But what we should stop and ask ourselves is, do I have faith in God? So this should be the highest amount of faith, right? The greatest amount of faith in my life should be directed towards God. So Jesus says the first thing, okay? And he's sharing, again, not just a philosophical class, philosophy, things that he's not living, things he's not doing, things he may not believe, but he's teaching you. No, Jesus Christ is saying, listen, this is what I have practiced. This is what I am practicing. This is how I did that which you've seen. So this is a whole different scenario than what people are used to having in religion. Jesus Christ is saying, listen, I'm doing it. I'm living it. My role as your rabbi is to teach you as disciples how you can come up and this can happen for you. Does that make sense? Why? Because that gives God doxa. That gives God glory. God didn't just want you sitting around looking at this person, whoever it is, definitely Jesus Christ, but whoever it is, and ooh and ah of what they're able to do without you being able to match that ability. No, that's not the way God does it in the kingdom of God. There are no low people in God's kingdom. There ain't no peons in God's kingdom. If you understand the way that God's kingdom is ordered, we're all kings in God's kingdom. Now, we function in different roles in our kingship. We're all priests, lowercase priests under the capital P priest, which is Jesus Christ, right? And maybe you haven't identified yourself with that. Maybe your behavior, right? Your ideas, your life haven't shown that this is who you are. But the reality is, this is what God said he desired. He said he desired to have a nation of priests, right? He wanted people holy and set apart for himself. That's what he has with his citizens of the kingdom of God, right? He wanted it and he had it. God desired to be able to birth kings from himself. He's royalty, right? Jesus Christ is royalty. He wants to duplicate us and model us after Jesus Christ so that we are kings functioning with the authority that he's given to us in this earth. And it's a powerful thing. Okay. So continuing on, I saw that in verse number 23, and maybe you see it, you know, more than this, maybe you see something different, but I pulled out at least five principles that were present in verse number 23. Okay. In verse number 23, it reads, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever, and I love it because this is inclusive to every child of God, right? Without respect to a person, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," I believe he was actually pointing at a physical mountain as he's teaching, right? That was near them. And he says, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea." And the same thing, I believe he's pointing to a body of water that's near this mountain, maybe at the base of the water. And he's saying, if you tell that mountain, pointing at that mountain, and then you tell it to be removed and be cast into that sea, I believe he's pointing at the sea. He says, and if you don't doubt that that is going to happen, right? If you don't doubt it in your heart, not doubting in his heart, he says, "But shall believe that those things which you say," or he saith, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." This is a definite truth, right? This is a definite statement, right? It's not a hope you will, it might not, all of those types of things. And that's where faith comes in. Do we believe that, right? Do we believe this statement that Jesus Christ is actually saying? Do I believe that if I truly follow these principles, then these things would happen for me? Okay. So again, when I'm getting in alignment with this in verse number 23, I pulled out principle number two. Is this God's will for me now? Okay. Because the reality is, if we take this and don't take it in a kingdom concept, I believe I can ask God for any old type of thing with any old type of motivation, and that it has to happen for me. God has to do it because I ask him, right? But that's not the way kings work. That's not the way kingdoms work. It doesn't function in that way. Is that there are laws that kings establish with their word, right? They establish standards in their word. They establish the culture of their kingdom with their law, right? Which establishes the norms, right? That happen, which establish culture, right? These things are happening throughout kingdoms at all times. So not knowing the will of the king is something that would be an abstract idea for a citizen of a kingdom. A citizen of a kingdom would have grown up in the will of God, right? Grown up in the will of the king. Or if they were assimilating from another location, they would have quickly began to assimilate and begin to learn the will of the king as quickly as possible, because these would have been norms inside of the kingdom, if that makes sense. So when we're looking at this, I'm telling you that that is a vital one. Me, myself, thinking about the disappointment I had and things that didn't work out, so then it messed with my faith because I said, I can believe anything. I can say anything and it's going to happen to me. Well, it didn't happen for me. So now I had a situation where doubt began to be created in my own heart, in my own mind, that I had to deal with. Well, you know what? I should never ask for it in the first place. It was not within God's will. It wasn't for me at all, right? Or it wasn't for me at that point. But because I was under an assumption that I could ask anything, then I would ask any old type of thing from any old type of motivation. And that's not kingdom reality, if I'm going to say it that way. Okay. Number three is develop or have faith in your own faith and its ability. This is where I ended at in the last session. I'm telling you, this is a vital, vital principle that Jesus Christ establishes. You can't question, and I've done it, right? My faith in my own faith, right? So I only have the faith I have, right? I'm working on my faith and I'm working with my faith, right? Whatever it's doing and whatever it is, it's mine, right? I can't have something manifest from his faith or someone else's faith without having my own. So I have to be able to have faith in my own faith in its ability and what it can produce, Or if I know that maybe this ain't really where it needs to be at, then I get into the presence of God. I get into his word and I begin to go in and allow the Spirit of God with his word to be able to develop, to build up, right? And to be able to allow my faith to be stronger than it was. Okay. So that's what I'm saying that Jesus Christ is establishing. So have faith in your own faith and its ability. Number four, believe that what you will say will come to pass. Now, this one, I'm telling you, it is very interesting, because for me, under different ideas as far as dealing with God, I was taught about this confessing scriptures, right? I memorized tons of scriptures, and I still highly recommend that you memorize those scriptures, because you can't recall, or the Holy Spirit can't recall and bring to your remembrance a scripture that you don't know, a truth that you don't know. Now, it's not just the truths dealing with the word of God. It's truths about anything. If you don't have a truth relating anything, the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to bring it back to your remembrance. So memorizing scripture is something that I highly encourage that anybody do. Confessing scriptures is something that is an important principle. It is something that's important that we do. We should have God's word that comes forth from our mouth. Now, here's the challenge. Because someone may have either taught it correctly, incorrectly, or they may have taught it correctly and I misunderstood it correctly, right? I didn't understand it correctly. Then I can believe that I can think, okay, I'm changing my words. I can think that I don't have to believe what I say and it's going to come to pass. Listen, that ain't the way your heart works. Your heart governs everything in your life. So you actually have to willfully believe, right? Or actually believe what you're saying. That's a part of it. So you want to make sure that you're honest about looking at God's word. Okay. And that leads into number five. Okay. So believe what you say will come to pass is number four. Number five is address and attack any and all doubt concerning what you believe in your heart. Now, this is powerful, right? Now, here's the way that you can apply this. And this is what I found. And maybe you have a better way of doing it. So if you take a scripture that you've seen, okay, a promise of God, really anything, it could be anything in life. It doesn't have to be a scripture, but just we're talking about the word of God. But I'll say this, okay, going back to Isaiah chapter 53, when you're reading through that, and it talks about Jesus bearing or carrying, okay, our sickness, our disease. It talked about by his stripes, we were healed, right? And I truly believe that that is a true reality, that that's what God did in Jesus Christ. He prophesied it through Isaiah, and then it happened in Jesus Christ. The question is, if you read that and you have a pain, a sickness, a disease, a symptom, you have something that has happened in your life that is a factual thing, right? To the point where if a doctor gave you a test, then you would test positive for it, right? Maybe that is something that is a real thing manifested in your life. So when you see that scripture and someone says that thing that you're dealing with, that Jesus Christ took it on his body and that you are healed of that, what is your first notion, right? What is the first thought that comes to your mind, okay? And normally that first thought, it exposes our true belief, right? It exposes that. So if the first thought that comes to your mind is that can't happen, that ain't so, right? That's not true, right? My doctor didn't say that. I believe my doctor and not God, right? They don't have a medicine to fix this, right? Whatever the thing is, then it gives you an area to be able to deal with and not ignore. Okay. So again, I'm saying number four is, Number four is believe that what you will say will come to pass. Number five is address. Pay attention, right? Address it. Write it down if you need to, right? Be honest about the doubt, right? And once you're honest about it and you address it, now you begin to attack it, okay? Now, I would love to go into a deeper teaching on this, but I'm not going to be able to. But Jesus Christ, he shares with us how you deal with unbelief, okay? Fasting and prayer are weapons to deal with unbelief. So what I'm saying is, if you find that you have doubt concerning anything in your life, no matter what it is, and it's opposite or contrary to what it is that God has established and said, then what you want to do is make time to be able to go to work on that thing. Again, write it down, right? Your attack mode is you are going to dedicate specific time so that you will fast, go without food, only water, right? Specifically in secret, not doing it in the open for other people, in secret. Do it in a way that nobody even knows that you're fasting. And while you are fasting, begin to deal with this doubt. Bring it up to the surface. Bring it before God. Hey, God, I don't like that my first thought is this. I don't like that your word says this, which is the truth. But when I read this word and think about it for myself, then I have a doubting thought that's opposite and contrary to that. I can't continue to go past it. So you can begin to take your words and begin to speak to the doubt, speak to the unbelief, tell it to go, tell it to believe. And you can see, which is amazing, you can actually apply what Jesus Christ is talking about in this mountain, and you can apply it to the doubt and the unbelief. It's crazy to think about that. So Jesus is saying in an example that you can tell this mountain what to do and where to go. But I'm telling you, you can do the same thing based on the principle that Jesus Christ is establishing. You can tell your doubt and unbelief to do the same thing. Isn't that amazing, right? So whatever the thing is in your life that stands contrary to the truth, and if you can't believe what God has said, if you are stating the words of God or saying something that's in alignment in response to the word of God, and you don't actually believe what you're saying, or you want to believe what you're saying, but there's doubt that's there, right? Then what you want to do is begin to address it and attack it. Does that make sense? And the target is our heart. Okay. Number five, again, fully is address and attack any and all doubt concerning what you believe in your heart. Listen, this heart is far more complicated. It's far more complex than any of us ever imagined. So we want to be honest about not knowing it, not knowing about it, and saying, Jesus Christ, you are the master of everything, the owner and creator of it all, including my heart. So I'm going to believe what you have said about the heart, and I'm going to use the tools that you've given me, right, to deal with it so that I can have the manifestation, I can have the results that you promised, if that makes sense. Okay. So number six is speak to it. Tell it what to do. Then tell it where to go. Now, when I saw this years ago, I didn't break it down that way because I didn't understand how specific these principles were. And oftentimes, because we're kind of loose with it and we don't really want to function in the authority that God has given to us, we're not giving clear directions of authority to it so that it will respond in the way that it should. But what Jesus Christ says is not only do you speak to the mountain in general, he says that you tell it what to do. He says what? Be plucked up. Do you see that? So this is a principle. Tell it what to do, whatever it is. If it's in your body, if it's in your life, if it's in whatever part of your life, whatever it is, wherever it might find itself, but tell it what to do. Again, if I'm dealing with doubt and unbelief in my heart, I've had to do this. I'm not telling you something I ain't doing. I'm doing stuff I did, am doing, and will continue to do the rest of my life. Anytime I'm finding doubt and unbelief in my own self, then during these times of fasting and praying, I am speaking to it. I'm telling it, get out of me. And I'm telling it where to go. Get out of me. Go be cast into the pit of hell, right? Go be cast into somewhere else. I'm telling whatever it is where to go and not just what to do. So again, these are great principles that we must decide if we believe, first of all, and that we will decide to be able to apply. Again, so tell it what to do. Tell it where to go, okay? Now that brings us into verse number 24, okay? Verse number 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall pray, you shall have them. Let me repeat it so I don't stutter saying it. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now, I know this is old King James, right? So you can find it in another Bible, but I like being able to get it there because I can go back and be able to look at the Bible concordance and find different words and see what they mean, all those types of things. So if ye don't mean anything to you, you can go into the English Standard Version, but be careful with versions that change too much because you miss out on basic principles that we should get. Okay, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes it may omit or change in a way that we can miss a principle. Okay, so in here, looking at this old version, right? Maybe it don't mean much to you, but to me, it's very clear. I can pull out number seven. Number seven is be clear about the desire of and in your heart. This is vital, right? And again, what I said about this is these are things that we've been doing our entire lives, but we haven't pointed and directed them towards God and his things for his glory. Okay. So you have a desire for a bunch of things, right? Cars, job, house, spouse, girlfriend, entertainment, whatever it is. You have this great desire and it's in your heart and it will drive your behavior. It always does. Okay. Now, when we're dealing with those desires, what we have to be honest about is for most of us, you and I, we've been trained by the flesh, which is a whole nother study, a whole nother teaching. But understand this, that the flesh is not your friend. It is not. The flesh cannot be tamed. You don't make the flesh your pet, okay? So for most of our entire lives, we have been used to and trained in being led by the flesh, okay? So the flesh is always set on doing something contrary to the will of God. Now, we allow it and we seek it because it brings us some type of satisfaction or pleasure. Does that make sense? And it's not always something like sex or drugs, right? It can be other things. Okay, something as simple as not forgiving somebody, okay, and choosing to do that because of the way it makes us feel, then that is something that's motivated by our flesh, okay? So pay close attention to what I'm saying is that every desire that we have is not of God, okay? Every desire that I have inside of me, it's not based in God. It's not motivated by God. So I want to make sure that I'm allowing the truth of God, the word of God, specifically the ministry and teaching of Jesus Christ, to be able to allow it to be able to be exposed, right? And I'm asking the Spirit of God, hey, check me, right? What's the word? Chastise me if I'm wrong, right? I want your correction. So correct me in alignment with the words of Jesus Christ, because I don't want to have a misplaced desire. Does that make sense? And I know that there's many people whose lives have been completely destroyed for misplaced desires, right? Confusing their own desire for the desire of God. So ultimately what we want in the kingdom is that we want our desire to be the desire of the king. That's when a kingdom is fully functioning in its optimal level, at its optimal level, is when the citizens, right, match the desire of the desire of their king. When the desires of the citizen and the desires of the king are in unison. Does that make sense? Okay. So I want to make sure that if I know that this is desire that's right with God, that I want to allow it to be made clear. And I said that hope paints a clear picture when it concerns the things of God. But be able to see it, make sure that it's clear, because the clearer that the picture is, the easier it is for you to believe it, right? The easier it is for me to believe it, okay? And that leads us into number eight. Bring it before God. Ask without wavering, okay? So it's something where I know things happen in life that can create some kind of unsettledness. But the reality is when we deal with a king, we can't go back and forth, right? God is a king. Jesus Christ is a king. We can't waver back and forth. It's better for you to pause and ponder, think about it, rather than to be able to go into some misguided petition that you're going to try to change and be unsteady about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. So what you want to make sure that you do is, and again, I'm talking to me too. I'm teaching a class where I'm learning. This is stuff that I'm applying for myself, and I don't always do it, right? So these principles remind me when I'm off pace how to recalibrate myself. When faith doesn't seem to be working like it should, things are not doing what they should, then I say, oh, okay, let me get back. Oh, I missed that, right? I messed up this principle. Oh, I violated this principle, okay? So again, be clear about the desire that you have in and of your heart. Number eight is bring it before God, ask him without wavering. So you want to make sure that you're really sure and steadfast about what it is that we're asking God. Number nine is believe that you have received them and that you will have them, that it will manifest. And it's a powerful thing, right? So dealing with the things of the kingdom of God specifically, then at the moment that I say it or petition for it, then I must at that moment determine that I'm going to take ownership of it right then. Okay. So the example that I think about in my heart, in my mind, when I'm trying to apply this is I think about my experience with online shopping, right? So the reality is I've had the desire in my heart for the thing. Either I developed the desire and I went out online looking for it so that I can have it. I saw it, I desire it, or I've been messing around online. I came across something that I really like, right? And I have a desire for it. So I say I want that, right? If I have the resources to be able to exchange, to take possession of it, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my payment in there, right? My payment method in there. Now here's the thing. I got to have faith to do that. And it's crazy. We'll have more faith in Amazon than we got in God. We'll have more faith in IKEA than we have in God. We'll have more faith in Walmart than we got in God, because we won't question that this item will arrive on my doorstep in a short amount of time, right? We won't question that if I put my payment in here, that they're not just going to steal my money, right? So the faith that we're using now, we should use a much higher faith in dealing with the things of God, but you can see how your desire is working. You can see how faith works, right? You can see how belief works because you have a desire, because you truly believed it. The corresponding action is that you put your payment in there, gave them all your pertinent information, including your address, right? So when we're dealing with these things, when I place the order for my payment, they normally give me some type of receipt or confirmation, right? Now I'm holding on to that receipt or that confirmation, and I'm starting to tell people about this thing I own based on the receipt of the confirmation. Does that make sense? So everything I do begins to fall in alignment with I already own it, right? It's already mine. So I'm telling people about it, right? I'm making arrangements, moving space in my house, if it's furniture, right? All of those types of things, because I have the receipt in my hand and it's mine. This is far before it gets to my doorstep, right? Before it actually manifests and makes itself plain and tangible in my sight where I can actually put my physical hands on it, I said I already own it. Do you see the principle, okay, and the application and how this works? I'm not going to try to take it outside of Jesus Christ. I'm putting it in Jesus Christ. This is what he's teaching. He's saying that you must believe at that very second, just like you're holding that receipt, that is yours right then and there. Not waiting for the pain to leave, right? Not waiting for the growth to go down and dissipate. Not waiting for a new report to come from the doctor. Not waiting for, some kind of financial statement to come from the bank. Not waiting for some letter to come. Not waiting for any of those things, knowing that because I have believed it, because I have said it, because of these principles working in my life, and because I trust God, now I know that it will manifest. Isn't that crazy? And Jesus says it will. Ain't that crazy? This is awesome stuff. So if we don't believe to that degree, it's okay. We go back in and we deal with these principles and we begin to be honest and come into reality with the way that these things work. So if it's not manifesting for us, it's probably messed up somewhere in these places. Okay. So I'm so excited about being able to share these. Okay. So this is that was principle what? Number nine. Wow. So we're going to get into principle number 10 in our next recording. So again, this is faith that draws and drives. Okay. So get into this, begin to get ahead of it, read yourself, get ahead of the class, own it, practice it, apply it, right? Ask the Holy Spirit for your help. Again, the goal is to help us assimilate into the kingdom of God so that super can become natural in our everyday lives. So we'll continue on in our next session. Have a great day.